Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. I'm so glad you came back for another episode. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome to Sunday. You know, this weekend, I'm actually up mountain biking, and so I decided to go into the vault and pull out something from years ago. I actually did this post 4 years ago. So 4 years ago, I'm dusting off the dust. There it goes. And here it is. Now, this is a subject that I've been wanting to readdress because it has been so long and because it's been in the forefront of my mind for a number of different reasons. I've met some people who are really suffering in the area of suicide, suicidal thoughts, or loved ones who have committed suicide. And this is a very heavy, serious issue. And I think it really needs to be handled with some wisdom. And today's topic is called God and Suicide. God and Suicide. I think the act of suicide really presses whatever theology we have to the forefront. And, you know, too often the church shoots the wounded. We see it in all kinds of areas of discretions or sin or whatever, where the church just ignores them or treats people so badly for being a sinner, which is kind of ironic. But suicide is one of those subjects that desperately needs some wisdom. And I mean, there's this idea that we see in the church that, you know, if a person commits suicide, then they're just going to go to hell. And the idea stems from the fact that if our last act is murdering ourselves or being selfish, then we will not have an opportunity to repent for that sin. And thus, we will not have an opportunity to be forgiven for that sin. And that's kind of silly. That would only make us as good as our last repentance. And it also assumes that God's forgiveness doesn't cover all sins, past, present, and future. No, it only assumes past sins are covered. So it puts you in this feedback loop of sin and repentance constantly. Jeremiah 31:33 says very vividly, and is quoted again in Hebrews twice, that I will remember your sins no more. So this doesn't even make sense in from a biblical perspective, yet alone to carry on that theology. Other traditions, they believe that, you know, if we don't have enough faith to trust God during our most difficult moment, then we probably don't have the kind of faith that we would need for salvation. And that is a total cop-out, if you ask me. I mean, really, all of these things, all these weird beliefs that come out about suicide in relationship to God or heaven or eternity, so much of them are just assumption. They're assumption. And it's all really jacked up. And I'm going to throw down some scriptures this week because I want you to know that the Bible is not saying what the fundamentalists are saying. You see, these jacked up beliefs are harmful and they stem from fundamentalism. You know, and fundies are the kind of people that believe that every divorce is a sin, that there's no circumstance under heaven where a divorce could possibly be permitted. These are the same people who believe that gay people can't be Christians or gays cannot be in heaven. Or that we have to give 10% of our money to a local church and go every Sunday. It's all culturally contrived, but it masquerades as God's voice. And that becomes problematic for those who really don't know their Bibles. They show up in good faith listening to their pastor or teacher, and they say these things, and they think, wow, the Bible must say that. Hey, folks, the Bible doesn't say it. Fundamentalism's influence in Christianity only makes suicides that much worse. And when this happens, the church is essentially oppressing the poor. That's right, oppressing the poor, which is what its whole mission is to not do. It's supposed to be good news to the poor. You know, some people are rich in money. Some are rich in friends. Some are rich in good health and mental constitution. They're rich in opportunity. But other people are poor in those things. Many lack good health. Many are plagued with negative dispositions. They just wake up grumpy. It's really hard to get some people in a good mood or to be positive. Many are born and live with just weakness of mind and weakness of faith. And so even the smallest advancements in their life are infinitely more challenging than someone who has a different disposition. I want you to know that God knows each of our struggles. It's the design. And biblically speaking, people are not saved or judged as the church likes to teach. See, God's standard to judge us is far more pure than the ones we use for each other. His ways are not our ways, as it says in Isaiah 55. And he looks on the heart, like it says in Samuel 16:7. God knows precisely the circumstances, the environment, the issues that will be brought before each person. If he doesn't know this, what kind of a sovereign God would this be? So while people like to judge each other based upon where they end up, the Bible seems to tell us that God judges us according to where we started. So, how many suicides are the result of a person who grew up under fundamentalism and could not find the love nor the liberation to live as they truly are? I know that's happened. I've heard their cries and I've seen their pain. It's real. Fundamentalism makes salvation and suicide mutually exclusive. Unless you're talking about Islamic fundamentalism, then they make salvation and suicide coextensive, right? If you commit suicide, you'll be saved. In Christian fundamentalism, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. Is this the solution? Really, is the solution to pray a grade school prayer and invite Jesus into some secret compartment within your heart? Is that it? Is it to turn your radio preset to K-Love and put a chrome fish on the back of your car? Is it to give up your weekends to go and listen to some teaching that may or may not be very good? Who's to say that God has not been perfectly glorified in the life of someone who takes their life? Now, Saul in the Old Testament fell on his own sword, 1 Samuel 31. And so did many others in Scripture. Are we to believe that God is somehow surprised by anybody's death? Now, let's make it very clear. I am not advocating for suicide. I don't see suicide as a viable option for anybody. I pray each of us successfully displaces our self-destructive thoughts. And yes, we all have them. From time to time, we are going to think on the dark side. Suicide is the ultimate blossom that comes from the seed of self-pity. It comes from the seed of confusion. And it resides within each one of us. If you think that seed isn't planted in your heart, boy, are you deluded. You see, I am warning against any kind of a theological position paper or a doctrine that doesn't employ wisdom nor try to discern the unique situations of every person. I guarantee you, many people will not call themselves a believer in God because of this issue. Because of the way that the church has handled it, because the church has a one-size-fits-all approach to their understanding here. The truth is that God knows, God sees, God understands. His mercy transcends the rules of man. It's bigger His love and his mercy, his compassion is so much bigger than our frameworks that we put him in. The grace of God is sufficient for those who are suffering. 2 Corinthians 12:19 says, "My grace is sufficient for you." The gospel story is that of a son who laid down his own life. And why? Because it says in John 10:17 that nobody could take it from him. I lay down my life because nobody can take it from me. That's very interesting because this sacrifice is in a very cosmic sense a self-slaughter. Yeah, the Christ story is a suicide story of sorts. So he gets our struggle. Hebrews 4:15 says we have a high priest who can sympathize with everything because he's been there. It's purposeful. You see, our suffering is the crucible that purifies us. That's Proverbs 17:3. Think about this. I'm throwing down all these Bible verses so that we don't have this crazy confusion anymore. Killing the self, as in pride, so that the true self or the soul can live, is the essence of the Christian faith in all mature religions. So there's an aspect where pride is suicide, and it's actually advocated in all of religion. So it's not hard to see why there's so much confusion. We don't all see life the same way, right? You know that. Some of us may not be able to see suffering as a temporary arrangement because it seems like suffering has been the hallmark of our whole life. Some may not have the mental or emotional strength to go on. The inspiration that brings a survivor through dark days may be absent for some. Some have bodies so riddled with pain and disease that it's easier to fear life than it is to fear death. So shall we continue to insist that there is no context whatsoever where suicide is not understandable? Again, I am not advocating for suicide. I do pray that we're able to displace our self-destructive thoughts. But you know what? The truth is we all contemplate our death. We all think about our own mortality. But look how many come through it. Look how many find life so amazing despite terrible circumstances. Look at how many would never change those terrible circumstances for all the gold in the world. It's worth it to fight one more day. It's worth it to seek for one more hour. God's grace really is sufficient. None of us are really alone. We all share a common human existence with common suffering and disorientation. We're all called to live out today as best we can, taking the good with it and the bad with it. No more, no less. So it's in this clouded, confused, insecure, and painful life that we all share that God has elected to write himself right into this drama. A God like that must be special. That's why I keep coming back to the Christian story. And in fact, the Christ story is where God self-empties, like it says in Philippians 2:7, into human flesh, so that he can dwell and live as one of us. That's like sacrilege to some religions. But it gives me a sense that this is a God that gets me. And it brings a healing that I can't describe, but I know many of you share as well. A God this faithful, this caring, certainly has the capacity and the grace for those who commit suicide. And it brings a complete healing for those who are left behind. You see, his self-slaughter means that we don't have to. And it also frees the survivors from looking back and wondering if we could have changed it. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you. And I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.